Hello.
And welcome back, everyone. This is Colt Narawan, and I'm here with Anna King. You're listening to Cinema Secrets, where you'll find in-depth movie analysis of your favorite movies. Today, we'll be discussing an interesting question. That is, how does cultural context affect moral and ethical choices? Name of the most impactful and controversial films of all time, which is To Kill a Mockingbird. We're joined by Robert Mulligan here today too, the director of the film, to provide us some insight for how certain film elements were used to create impacts and convey messages to the audience.
Hi everyone, I'm Robert. It's great to be here.
And it's great to have you here. Thanks for coming in, Robert. And hi everyone, I'm Anna, and I'll be co-hosting this podcast with Colin. So, To Kill a Mockingbird, a classic. I have to admit, Gregory Peck's acting was remarkable in the film, wasn't it?
I agree completely. In fact, his only Oscar came from his role as Atticus Finch, who played a major character throughout the film.
You know, quite frankly, I'm not surprised. So why don't we start by providing some context?
Good idea. So, To Kill a Mockingbird was set in the southern United States around the 1930s, during the time of the Great Depression.
It was around this time that racial prejudice and discrimination had peaked. To Kill a Mockingbird revolves around this theme as it explores the origins and consequences of racism alongside the unjust stereotypes that accompany the narrow-mindedness of a southern American town.
That's right. In fact, the film was produced in black and white even when color film has already been invented, to help graphically depict the racial tension of that time.
I suppose in doing so, it also helps the audience to kind of step into the time period and see what the southern American town would have been like.
Yes, it really does, doesn't it? So in one clear instance where racism is portrayed, Tom Robinson, a black man, is charged with rape and abuse by a white woman named Mayella and her father, Bob.
You may have also noticed how Tom wears much simpler clothing compared to Atticus, and this was also used to portray black people as less privileged and simpler than white people were.
Yes, I did notice that. So it's an unexpected turn, isn't it, when Atticus, a white town lawyer, agrees to represent Tom in court, fully believing that he is innocent.
You know, I almost think that this event was foreshadowed, because in the opening credits of the film, there is one shot that tracks a rolling white marble clinking into a black marble. Do you think it's possible that this was used to represent how Tom and Atticus managed to come together even despite their racial tensions?
Why, yes. Now that you mentioned it, it's interesting, Anna, because Atticus just seemed to be the only person who believed in Tom's innocence. Why do you think that was?
I would definitely say that Atticus's awareness of the underlying racism made it more credible for him to believe Tom, so much so that he persistently fought for Tom throughout the entire case, even despite Bob's attempt at pressuring him to drop the case. And something else I noticed that supports this is how in several scenes capturing Atticus with Scout and Jem, the camera angle is positioned so that the shot looks up towards Atticus, whilst when capturing shots of Bob, the antagonist, who quite openly shares his racist and morally bereft beliefs to the rest of the community, the camera angle is positioned to look down on him. This kind of builds a sense of respect for Atticus, highlighting his moral integrity, and casts Bob as the lesser, ethically deprived person.
There are other techniques too that we use throughout the film to intensify these racial themes. For example, I assume you know of Atticus's monologue in court, where he makes his closing argument.
How could we not know? That ranks in the top 5 film scenes of all time, I dare say.
I completely agree.
Well, in that scene, the lighting is so focused on Atticus as he endeavors to convince the jury of Tom's innocence. However, when Bob and Mayella speak, the lighting is dimmed. This was used to emphasize the moral choice Atticus made in committing fully to represent Tom despite the present racism.
I think Atticus' oratory performance in that scene was moving enough to even make Anna feel something. However, it wasn't enough to combat racism and sway the jury, was it?
Unfortunately not. And this marks a major point in the film, because when the jury delivers a verdict against Tom Robinson, despite the evidence of Tom's broken left hand, this almost proves he couldn't have punched Mayella on the right side of her face.
What else racism for you? It's really disappointing how racism was to such a great extent, that he could so finally determine the outcome of a person's life.
Yes, it is. And this actually brings us to another major aspect that the film revolves around, which is the stereotypes persisting in the town of Macomb.
Yes, there's a darker element to this film, isn't there? This almost completely in relation to Boo Radley. Boo is mentioned at the beginning of the film, and the purpose of his character remains mystery for most of the film.
That was the intended effect. When Scout, Zim, and Dill visit Boo's house one night, the lighting is especially low, and this elicits this sense of secrecy and fear for the audience. In this same scene, as Jim stands on the porch of the house, the shot captures the shadows of the figure creeping up behind him. This makes the figure, who is identified as Boo, almost seem monster-like, about to prey upon Jim.
You know, it's no wonder that the children were scared. I couldn't handle watching the scene myself, let alone being there to experience it. In that scene, what also happens is that the shots shift between the shot of the shadow and a close-up of Scout's eyes widening, which kind of indicates that she is witnessing a frightening scene.
Ah, and there's another feature that we've left out, which is the music.
Ah, yes, the music. How could we forget? In my opinion, the changes in tempo really help certain scenes to build tension and suspense, evoking that feeling of fear for the audience.
Yes, it does. Especially in the scene where Jem explains the legend of Boo Radley to Scout and Dill, the music sets its eerie suspenseful tone with a fast-building tempo to create tension. Almost frightening enough that I encourage all of you listeners not to watch this movie at night.
And this continues in the part we just discussed. When the shadow of the figure creeps up behind Jem, the music becomes even more dramatic, increasing the suspense. I would say in this scene specifically, the slow progression of tempo as the shadows move closer to Jem led to a more gradual build in tension. In turn, this makes the figure who the shadow belonged to, Boo, seem even more monster-like, further helping Boo into becoming a symbol of fear.
Boo is this picture of fear. And at this point in the film, we haven't even seen what he looks like yet. But this changes later on, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Later on in the film, when Scout and Jem are walking back from the school Halloween party, they are attacked by Bob.
Yes, it was fortunate, however, that there was someone who could save them.
That's right. Scout returns home with an unconscious Jem who is carried and dropped off by the person that saved them.
And whilst they wait in Jem's room, Scout spots someone hiding behind the door. This person is revealed to be Boo Radley.
Underplay on lighting occurs here, actually. As you mentioned earlier, Boo Radley has been a picture of fear in the film so far. As he hides behind the door, the darkness on him makes it difficult to see his figure, but this changes as the door shifts, and the lighting then shines on him. This was specifically used to represent how Boo went from being a main element of fear to become a heroic figure.
Now, how clever is that?
I mean, it really is clever because it helps to portray how Boo is stereotyped massively in the town and how rumors led to him being feared and ostracized by the rest of the community. This kind of represents how a town at the time like Macomb was so narrow-minded.
Yes, it really does, doesn't it? In fact, To Kill a Mockingbird as a whole really is a pivotal story in my opinion because it vividly addresses the issues of racial injustice and social inequality that existed not only in the 1930s, but those that we still see today. And as part of this, it establishes the importance of moral integrity. Now, I would love to keep discussing this, but unfortunately, I think our time is up.
Ah, you're right. 10 minutes passes by faster than you might think when discussing a favorite classic like this one. Thank you so much, Robert, for joining us today. Your insight and discussions were extremely helpful.
No problem. Any opportunity for me to discuss To Kill a Mockingbird is always a good one.
Well, that's it for today, folks. Thank you to those who listened. We hope you enjoyed and found this helpful. Tune in next week for an analysis of the movie Pride and Prejudice. Thank you.